All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 13, if you would please. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia and from thence sailed to Cyprus." Now, I want us to turn over to chapter 14 now. I want you to notice, let's pick it up in verse 19. They've been traveling from city to city in Asia Minor, and when we pick it up in verse 19, now they're on their way back, and they're going to hit every city that they've gone to and preach the gospel. They're going back to every city, and we're going to see what they did here, but they're heading home. And notice here, let's pick it up in verse 19. The Bible says, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God, for the work which they fulfilled." Now, if you go back with me, I want to draw your attention here to two words. In Acts chapter 13, in the second verse, when the Holy Ghost, right in the middle, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul," notice, "for the work." Now, that expression, "the work," means that this is something specific. This is something that the Holy Ghost knew what he was saying, and as the church and as Barnabas and Paul were receiving the message, they knew what that meant, the work. And if we go to chapter 14, thinking about the work that they were called to do in chapter 14, notice in verse 26, "And then sail to Antioch," so they're back where they left off, "from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God," notice again, "for the work," notice, "which they fulfilled." That's a pretty amazing statement. Notice, "for the work which they fulfilled." I want to talk today about the work of God. The work of God. And by the way, it's something that the Bible says makes it very clear what the work of God is. And I want us to think this morning about the work of God being fulfilled. Because it can be fulfilled. It can be fulfilled. So let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend in your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to be yielded to your Spirit. Lord, to follow in obedience as you point out, Lord, things that perhaps we ought to do that we're not doing, or things that we're doing that we ought not to do. And I pray, Lord, that you would do an eternal work in our hearts, and Lord, that we would be encouraged, strengthened, and stirred in our hearts to understand that your work in this world, we as Capital Baptist Church can fulfill that work. And we're grateful for that, Lord, and for the privilege to be involved in that work. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're thinking this morning about the work of God. Now, for sake of background, we know what the work is. We refer to it as the Great Commission, or the command that was given to the church. This command that we know as the Great Commission was not given to certain individuals, it was given to the church. And that's important. The responsibility lies with the church and the individuals who are part of the church. Now, for that, we're going to go back and look at the five times in the Gospels and in Acts when the Gospel or the Great Commission was given, the command to the church. Let's go back. We're going to try to take them chronologically. Let's go, first of all, to the Gospel of John in chapter 20, if you turn there with me. The Gospel of John in chapter 20. After Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for the sin debt of all humanity, after 3 days, he rose from the dead and he spent time with his disciples. And in that time, he gave them the great command or the great commission. And notice the first time he gave it to them in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, notice verse 21. The Bible says here, Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Now notice here a few things. Then said Jesus unto them. Who's the them? We say that's the disciples. Well, we could say that's the church. Because when we read in Acts chapter 2, they were the people that got saved there in Jerusalem were added to them, the church. And so when we see here that expression, them is speaking of the church. The believers that were gathered together there under the sound of the preaching of the Lord. Notice, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So here we have the authority for doing the Great Commission. Jesus Christ says, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Now let's go to the second time it was given in Luke. Go with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I want you to go with me to verse 45. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. If I remember correctly, this is the second time that the Great Commission was given. Notice in verse 45 of Luke 24, the Bible says, "Then open he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name among all nations, in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." So we saw in the Gospel of Luke that we have the authority by which we are to go. And here we have, in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, we have the message wherewith we are to go. He says that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. So our message today is to preach the gospel. To preach people to everywhere that they need to repent of their sins, and that if they repent of their sin and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then their sins can be blotted out. That's the message we have. The third time, if you go with me to Matthew chapter 28, so we have the authority, we have the message. Notice here in Matthew 28, the last two verses, verse 19 and 20, the third time here this command was given, the Bible says here, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So here in Matthew, not only do we have the authority by with which we are to go, we have the message, but here we have how are we to accomplish that. And the Bible makes it clear. We're supposed to teach all nations. That word teach has the idea of making disciples, preaching the gospel, make disciples. Notice baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's how we're supposed to do it. That's the work of God. If you go with me, the fourth time is given in Mark chapter 16. Notice in Mark chapter 16. And notice in, we'll read a few verses beginning here in verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." So notice here, not only do we have the authority, the message, the how we're supposed to accomplish that work, but here we have really the importance of why we're to do that work. Because the Bible says those that believe will be saved. And those that do not believe are damned. We'll spend eternity in hell. That's the motivation to get the message out. This is about eternity. And the last time it was given, notice in Acts chapter 1, if you go there with me, Acts chapter 1. So we see in the Gospel of John, we have the authority of God. God sends us. We see not only do we have the authority, but in Luke chapter 24, we see the message. We also see how we're supposed to do that, and we see in Mark the importance. But here in Acts chapter 1, and notice verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And that's the Great Commission, the fivefold command. And here he basically tells them, when is the mission accomplished? When is the work done? And notice, if we think about the book of Acts as a whole, the command here that he gives them, he says, in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If you take the book of Acts chronologically, in chapter 2, we see the work the church did in Jerusalem. If you go to Acts chapter 8, then you see the work of the church in Judea and in Samaria. And where we picked up in Acts chapter 13, we see the work of God unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when we see here these two words in Acts chapter 13, in verse 2, well, the Bible says the work that he called them to do, that work is what we just read. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. And we see here in the book of Acts that they understood clearly when the Holy Ghost said to separate Barnabas and Saul for the work, they knew exactly what that work was. And because we have the Bible today, we know what that work is as well. Now the sad thing today is that there are many churches that have no idea why they're here. They have no idea why what they're supposed to do. They're purposeless. They don't have a purpose. I don't know if that was a word. Was that a word, purposeless? It is now, yeah. Why do churches, and this is true, why do churches bring in a McDonald's in their church? Why do churches offer yoga classes? Because they don't know why they're here. But we know why we're here, because we have the Word of God. And I want to talk to this morning about the work. I want to talk about fulfilling the work of God. Now, the first thing we're going to look at, beginning here in chapter 13 of Acts, if you go there with me, we see here, first of all, the prerequisites for the work. In other words, there are certain elements that are necessary for the work of God to be done. And we see that in the book of Acts. And notice here, the first thing we see here in verse 1 of chapter 13, the first element, the first necessity, the first thing we must have is, first of all, we must have servants. Notice the Bible says, "Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers." The word prophet simply means a preacher. And teachers, notice he lists a few names as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now these men were all from different backgrounds, from different places geographically, from all different countries. But they're all in this church there. And notice here, verse 2, he says, "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted." So these men, notice, these servants were serving the Lord. The Bible says they were preaching and teaching. And by the way, that is the most important part of the work of God, the preaching of God's Word. You know, we can have a church without a choir. We can have a church without singing, but we can't have a church without preaching. Preaching is the most important part of what takes place at Capital Baptist Church, the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. It is the most important part. And we see here that these men, the Bible says that we're going to see in just a minute, are called to do a specific work. They were already serving the Lord. And by their office that they held as preachers and teachers, we know certain things about them. They were mature in their faith. In other words, when someone gets saved, we don't tell them, "Hey, next week you're teaching Sunday school." That's not the way it works. Why? They're babes in Christ. They don't know the Word of God. They haven't been grounded, so they need to be taught and preached. So these men here are people that have been faithful to the Word of God. They've been taught. They've been trained. They're preachers and they're faithfully teaching the word of God. Notice, not only are they faithful, but notice who they're ministering to. The Bible says they minister to the Lord. Everything that we do in this place is as unto the Lord. We don't do things to get a crowd. We don't do things to try to impress people here in Dover, Delaware. We do things because we want to please the Lord. And when we teach and preach, we're doing as unto the Lord. I'm preaching to you today, but I'm preaching to the Lord. Because I'm ministering to the Lord. And so we see the first really element that's necessary for the work to be done is servants. By the way, let me just say this. I'm not going to give you anything new this morning. I'm not going to give you anything that you've never heard before. I'm going to give you the simplicity of the Bible. But the fact is today, many churches have moved away from the simplicity of the Bible. They're doing all kinds of crazy stuff out there. They are. And what are we to do? Servants are to notice, preach and teach, faithfully ministering unto the Lord. So not only do we need servants, but the second thing we need is we need the Holy Ghost. Notice the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, notice, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, a few things we need to notice here. Who did the Holy Spirit speak to? Now, we know he was doing a work in the heart of Paul and Barnabas. But when he said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, who was he speaking to? He was speaking to the church. Not to Paul and Barnabas. Why? Because they were serving there in the church. So he's telling the church, I want Paul and Barnabas to separate from me because I have a specific work I want them to do. So notice here, there's the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God moves in the life of those that are serving Him to do a specific task, but He also moves in the life of the church and the members of the church to say, you know what? We agree. And we see the Lord's call on that person's life. That's what takes place. The Holy Ghost is necessary. Without the Holy Ghost, you have no direction. He directs us. He calls us to do certain things. And by the way, these things will never disagree with His Word. But the fact is today, I really believe there's no Holy Spirit power in churches today. And the reason for that is they're getting involved in all kinds of crazy stuff that have nothing to do with the Word of God and the work that we're supposed to do. And so we see here, notice, we need servants, we need the Holy Ghost's direction, leading, but we also see the third element we need is a local church. Notice the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Notice, and when they had fasted and prayed, that's not Saul and Barnabas, the church. The church. The church members. The members that were, the people that were there, that were members of the church, that had joined themselves to that church, they were praying and fasting because of God, the Holy Spirit's call and moving there. And notice the Bible says, and they lay their hands on them, Paul and Barnabas, and sent them away. Notice verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. Let me ask you this. Who sent them out? Did the church send them out? Yes, the Bible says, and they sent them away. But then the next verse says, and the Holy Ghost sent them out. So who sent them out? Both. Both did. And it is important as we consider the work of God that we have to understand everybody's responsibility and everybody's involvement in the work of God. Because it's not just a few people that do the work of God and then people stand behind and, yeah, you're doing a good job, good job, good job. That's not the way it works. That expression here we have that it says they laid their hands on them. We refer to that today. It's the same thing, but we use a word, ordaining. That means that we, the church as a whole, the church is who ordains men. Now, if everything goes well, in November 26th, Saturday, the church is going to bring a council of preachers that have been ordained, and they're going to question me to see if I know what I believe. I hope I'll have it all figured out by then. No. But the council does not ordain me. You do. If you're a member of this church, you are the ones doing the ordaining. The council comes, and they recommend me, after being questioned, to you for ordination. They're not the ones ordaining. You will be doing the ordaining. That's why you all need to be there on Saturday. Mark it on your calendar, November 26th. Why? Because I want your approval. because you need to be praying about the Lord's work and how every one of you is involved. Do you understand why it is important when we read the scriptures that there's no such thing as someone that takes the seat in the church that says, well, I don't do anything, I just come to the services. There's no such thing in the scriptures. We find everybody was involved in the work, whether it be those leaving or the ones sending them out. Everybody was involved. And you know what that idea of laying on of hands, the idea of laying on of hands is the church as a whole says, you know what, we recognize God's call on that person's life, and we agree, we see that the Lord's worked in that person's heart, and we agree, and we're going to pray, and we're going to stand with this person, and we agree with that person, and we're going to send them out, we're going to stand with them for what God's called them to do. That's what ordination is. That's what the laying on of hands is. In other words, the church stood with... Why is that important? It's important because when I go to Wilmington, I'm not starting a church. Capital Baptist Church is starting a church. They say, well, aren't you church? I know it's semantics as far as... But understand what you're saying. By you ordaining me, you are saying we as a church are going up to Wilmington. Amen. That's what you're doing. And we will stand with you. That's what that church was doing. You know why? Because then they went back to the church and told the church everything that had happened. And the church rejoiced. So who does the fruit belong to? The fruit belongs to the church. There's no such thing as people say, oh, wow, he started a church. Wow, great, great guy. No, no. The fruit belongs to you. Because you stood and recognized God's call, followed the Lord's leading, and said, you know what? We're going to stand with you. Now, these are the elements, the prerequisites for the work of God. We have to have these elements. We have to have servants that are faithfully serving the Lord. We have to have the Holy Spirit's leading, but we also have to have a local church. The work of God is not accomplished in this world without the local church. The local church is the authority for the work of God. And we have to recognize that today. I hope that if you're saved today and you're baptized, scripturally baptized, by a church that believes like we do, and you're not a member of a church or of this church, then you need to join the local church. Amen. I really believe that you're not in the will of God if you're not a member of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, because you must place your influence in that church. Why? Because that's in the plan. That's part of the work. These are the elements necessary for the work. So we see the prerequisites for the work. If we jump, basically here, we see them traveling all through chapter 13 and chapter 14. And notice, I want you to go with me to chapter 14, because we're going to see the second phase. Not only do we see the prerequisites, but we also see the pattern. In other words, what are we going to do? What do we do? What is the work of God? What is it? Well, the Bible tells us what it is. And it's actually quite simple. Now, we see them traveling. They left Antioch, their home church, as they sent them out. Notice, and they went to Salamis, Paphos, Perga, Antioch, and Pisidia. That Antioch that's mentioned there verse 19 is a different Antioch. That's an Antioch in Asia Minor. And then they go to Iconium. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium, they follow Paul and Barnabas to Lystra. They go after them, and they try to make an uproar in the city to try to stone them. Then they go to Derbe. We see in verse 19 of chapter 14 that Paul is left for dead. And they get to Derbe, and here when they're in Derbe, notice they're headed back now to Antioch, but they're going to hit every church that they've planted in these cities. And we have specific stories in chapter 13 and chapter 14, but really here in this passage at the end, he kind of sums everything up as to what they did in these cities. Notice if we pick it up in verse 19. Of chapter 14. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had, notice, preached the gospel to that city. They preached the gospel to that city. That's what they did. That's the first thing we see that is part of the work of God. We read that in Matthew. We read that in Luke and Mark. We read these things, that the command is to preach the gospel to the city. So our goal as we do the work of God is to try to get the gospel to every single person that lives in Wilmington and that lives in Dover. That's the work of God. Preach the gospel. So what are we to do? Well, and I'm being sarcastic here, but you know what most people would do? They'd say, you know what, let's get a committee together. Let's get a communications director. Let's see if we can figure this thing out. Okay? Maybe we need to get on the local TV stations, and maybe we need to, I don't know, maybe try to think about a way we can get people to come into, cram people in. Maybe we get to get a concert. Should we do a concert maybe? Maybe I think that might get people out. Maybe we get a few famous people, and we get people in, and then at the end we'll slip in the gospel. Is that what we're supposed to do? No. So what do? This is a deep truth. We're going to go door to door, knocking on every door in Wilmington, and giving the gospel to people that have never heard the gospel. That's what we're going to do. That's how we get the gospel to every person. And by the way, most people in Wilmington, this may shock you, but it does shock me. Most people in Wilmington have never heard the gospel, a clear presentation of the gospel. Many people know of Jesus. Many people know he died on the cross. They have no reason why. They don't know why. Most people I meet in Dover when I knock on doors have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Never. And so what are we to do as a church? You see, that gives us purpose. We know what we're supposed to do. We have a message. And that message is that repentance and remission of sin should be preached unto all people. And as I said, and so we say, okay, go door to door. We preach the gospel. We try to go to places. Perhaps they try to invite people to come to the church service where the gospel is preached. We got to get the gospel out to the city. That's the work. That's the first part. There is no work of God without preaching. We don't need, again, to start a yoga class to get people in. We don't need to get a concert up here to get people to come to church. We need to go out and preach the gospel to people that have never heard. And the second thing we see, they did notice in verse 21, it says, and they had preached the gospel to that city, notice, and had taught many. So really the second thing we see that's part of the work of God, so you preach the word of God, preach the gospel to everybody, wherever you are. Try to get the gospel to every single person. And then those that believe have to be taught. They need to be taught the word of God. They need to mature and grow. How do we do that? It's complicated, isn't it? No, it's not. Let's see, we start a Sunday school program where we teach people the Word of God. When people get saved, we have Bible studies with them where we take the Word of God and take some truths that they need to understand as new believers, and we teach them through these lessons. We teach them the Word of God. In church, we preach the whole counsel of God. All of it. We don't have to leave anything out. This is the Word of God. We don't need to change it. The Word of God is the power of God. We have the power of God in our hands, and we can give it out, and this is what changes people's lives. So understand, it's not like someone came up a few years ago with let's come up with this church thing, and let's try to see if we can get some crowd in to listen to some cute stories. No, God came up with this to do His work in this world. And so people that are saved, then they need to be taught. That's the work of God. We see the next thing, if you read notice the end of verse 21, they return again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. By the way, these are the places where the Jews had left these cities of Antioch. They went to Iconium, stirred up the Jews in Iconium, and then they went to Lystra and Derbe. And they tried to cause an uproar in the city to get Paul stoned. And by the way, he was stoned, and he was left for dead. They thought he was dead. And then he goes back to the same cities. You know, sometimes we have the idea, well, if the world got a little better, maybe we can give the gospel out. Maybe if the city of Wilmington got a little safer, maybe we could go up there. We're not supposed to wait for anything, because we know what the work of God is. We know what the Holy Spirit has called us to do, and we need to go there. And so notice here, as he goes back to these churches, and notice people over there got saved. People had been taught the word of God, but notice the next thing they do in verse 22, there's preaching, there's teaching. Notice the first thing there is, third thing there is, confirming the souls of the disciples, notice, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now that word confirming the souls of the disciples, it has the idea of to strengthen them. It has the idea of setting a strong foundation for them so that when trial and tribulation and persecution comes, they can endure it and still be faithful to God. How do you confirm people? How do you encourage them, strengthen them? I have an idea. Preaching. That's not a new idea. How do you think they did that? They encouraged them. When they were with them, they encouraged them, hey, I know you're being persecuted, but be strong. Remember what you've been taught. They preached the word of God so that people knew these aren't man's ideas. We're following God. And they knew that. And they wanted to follow God. So he says, look, stand for the word of God. You know what God has said. You know what you've been taught. Notice they confirmed the souls of the disciples. Notice in verse 22, and exhorting them to continue. Notice in the faith. That word, the faith, is not some general term that like we use it sometimes. Is, oh, do you have the faith, brother? You have the faith? Not that the faith refers to a body of doctrine. That's what it refers to. The Bible says if we read throughout the epistles and in the book of Acts, we're supposed to fight for the faith, stand for the body of doctrine. And by the way, you don't have any church without doctrine. If people get together and have a crowd and say a cute story, that's not a church. There's doctrine that identifies us as to the fact that we are a church. And notice here, the Bible says they exhort them to continue in the faith. He says, you need to continue. You need to stand for the things that you know are truth. That's what they did. So preaching, teaching, confirming, and exhorting. And notice the last thing that they did, verse 23. The Bible says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church. Now, that has the assumption that there were churches that were started there. So when they were preaching and teaching, and when they were confirming and exhorting, that means there was already a church there. I have nothing, I don't think that crusades in themselves are evil, but the fact is they don't accomplish the work of God. Just because a bunch of people come into a city and they say, have a big concert, and then give the gospel, and then have everybody, and then they go to another city, that's not the work of God. Now, I want people to get saved, but we have to understand that it falls so short of what God wants us to do. Without the planting of churches, the work of God is not getting done. And so we see here that they saw these group of believers that got saved, that were being taught, that were being confirmed and exhorted, and then what they did is, notice, they ordained them elders in every church. They did exactly what the church in Antioch did with Paul and Barnabas. They started over. They got the church together. They says, hey, we need a man to pastor the church. We need to ordain them. Lay their hands on them. Make sure that he was a man that knew knew what he believed, that he was mature, grounded in the faith, and they placed that man in the leadership of the church to be their pastor. That's the work of God. That's the work of God, right there. When the Holy Ghost said to separate Barnabas and Saul for the work, that's the work. Preaching, teaching, confirming and exhorting, and ordaining. That's the work. That's the work. And all of us are supposed to find our place in that work. Perhaps you're a new believer. Perhaps you're not saved. You need to get saved. You need to realize that you're guilty before God because of your sin, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for all your sins, all of them. And if you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all your sins will be gone. Like that. But if you're saved and you're here, then you need to get baptized if you're not baptized. If you're not a member of a church, you need to become a member of this church. Or of a church that's a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, as we see in the New Testament. Because you need to place your influence in that church. And if you're in this church, then, and you're young, then you need to grow spiritually. You need to come to Sunday school where the Word of God is taught. Perhaps some of you, maybe you have time to come to the Bible Institute where the Word of God is taught even more specific and deeper. But you need to grow, mature. Because one day God wants to call you to be a teacher, perhaps. Perhaps some of you, he wants you to teach or preach. And so we have to understand that we all have to move along as a unit, as a church. We have to function for that specific work. And we have to understand that our involvement when we send someone out to go somewhere or when we have someone ordain a pastor, we have to understand that it is our responsibility collectively. It's not one individual. It's the church's responsibility as a whole. Do you understand why it is so important for us to be in a church and to be involved? I think that these believers would laugh if they came to most churches today. They'd see people come to church, sit down, sing some songs, leave. That's all they do. No desire to grow spiritually. No desire to make any impact in the world. Just they come because that's part of, the religious routine. That is so wrong. Everybody understood that collectively there was a work. There's a work for us to do. As Capital Baptist Church, there is a work for us to do. And we know what that work is. Preaching, teaching, confirming, training. Notice here, the last thing in verse 26. We see the prerequisites for the work. Okay, we have to have a servant, we have to have the Holy Spirit, and we have to have a local church. We see the pattern is preaching, teaching, confirming, and training, or ordaining. And notice verse 26, the Bible says, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God. Notice, for the work which they fulfilled. God looked at that church and said in His Word that Antioch Baptist Church fulfilled the work of God. You know what that means? It means they completed it. They completed it. Yeah. Now, we get the idea sometimes, and what many believers happen in their what happens in their lives is that they get to the place and they think they hear missions conference once a year. They have missionaries. We have missionaries that come by that present the work, and we think, wow, it is impossible to get the work of God done. It is impossible to get to these 7 billion people around the world. It's impossible to, and you're right, it is impossible for me to do that. And it is impossible for you to do that. But God's called us to the work. That work is, as we just saw, we as a church can fulfill that work. In other words, what we have to do is we have to be obedient to the Lord. We have to do what we must do as a church in obedience to the Lord. We don't have to worry about everything else. Now, let's have a burden. Let's support missionaries, but we have to concentrate on our church and say, you know what, I'm going to be part of this church. I'm going to be involved in here because we as a church can fulfill the work of God. God can say of our church, if you would, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, let me ask you this. Was everybody saved in Antioch? No. Was everybody saved in Iconium? No. Well, was everybody saved in Lystra and Derbe? No, they weren't saved. Not everybody was saved, but they completed the work of God. And we today as a church can fulfill the work of God. That's an amazing thing to me. Because we don't have to sit there, if we're obedient to the Lord, if we're following the Lord, we don't have to sit there and say, oh, we didn't win the world to Christ. That's not our concern. Our concern is we must obey the Lord. I really believe in my generation, if every Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church does that, the world could be won to Christ. I believe that. I don't know how many churches there are in this country, but if every church started one church, we'd double. And the process of multiplication in 10 years could be phenomenal. But we all, it's vital for all of us to understand all of our involvement in the work. The work. Let's ask the Lord to help us and to see, Lord, what is my part? If you truly have a desire to follow the Lord and say, you know what, I want to know. I want to know what God wants me to do. I want to be able to, you know what, I want to get behind this church. I want to get behind the church plant in Wilmington. Because, you know, it's not, Mr. Brother Knickerbocker, you're going to Wilmington, see you later. No, no, we're starting a church. And we have to understand that we are all responsible and we are all to be involved. Everybody in different ways, but we're all to be there. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be part of the work. Do you? Let's ask the Lord to help us.